Chuck Chat Technorama for Thursday, October 6th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors, cardinal gram meters, six hydrocoptic marble veins, conductors and fluxes, prefamulated amulite, malleable logarithmic casing, swerving bearings, panometric fan, the Milford trenches, and the facient lunar wane shaft, Lotus O deltoid type, semi-boloid slots of the stator, drawn reciprocation dingle arm, sinusoidal deplaneration, retrocabulator.
Welcome to Technorama! This ain't no party, this ain't no disco, this ain't no fooling around. I'm Chuck Tomasi in Wisconsin, and with me all the way from North Carolina, wearing the Pee Wee Herman platform shoes, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I know you are, but what am I?
All right, let's not start that.
I'm doing fine, Chuck. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Does it seem like it's been a really long time since we did a show, or a really short time?
Yeah, it feels like it's been a long time.
But you know what? You just get done with one, and the next one just is right there. I mean, you can't even turn around and stop thinking about, what did we do right, what did we do wrong? Oh my, we have to put together some notes for the next one!
I know why it must feel like a long time to you, Chuck.
I miss you.
No, I was going to say because Green Bay lost. And, you know, that's kind of been agony. My Panthers actually beat y'all soon.
We won't drag sports into this too much. There's not too much technology there. Although, you know, if I did get a free pass to Lambeau Field, I'm sure I could dig up something technical. Coming up tonight, y'all, we've got lots of stuff. We've got lots of odds and ends and news stories. Very strange ones this time. We've got some listener feedback. We've got a new segment I'm going to try out that lets you know, give you a little insight of what we're working on at work and some lessons learned there. And Craig has got a couple of things about moving his entire RSS home from Blog Lines to Gregarious.
I had to get two men in a truck to help.
And some pocket PC tips as well.
Yes, sir.
But first, a word from our sponsor. If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings. On this day in tech history, for October 6, 2005. It's October 6th, the 279th day of the year. There are 86 days remaining. There are 64 days left until the Chronicles of Narnia open in the U.S. Due to the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day does not exist in 1582 in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain. It was on this date in 1889 that Thomas Edison shows his first motion picture, and the first prominent talking movie, The Jazz Singer, opens up on this date in 1927. LSD is declared illegal in the United States in 1966. And in 1995, 51 Pegasi in the constellation of Pegasus, 47.9 light years away from Earth, was discovered to be the first major star, apart from the Sun, to have a planet. Happy birthday on this date goes out to Martin Behaim, the German navigator and geographer, born on this date in 1459. Heinrich Wilhelm Dove, the German physicist, was born in 1803. And in 1831, Richard Dedekind, German mathematician. We're full of Germans today. 1846 was the birthday of George Westinghouse, the American engineer and inventor. And in 1903, Ernest Walden, the Irish physicist and Nobel Prize laureate. Happy birthday to Thor Heyerdahl, the Norwegian explorer. Rode the raft Kon-Tiki, Ra and Ra 2. He was born on this date in 1914. And finally, happy birthday in 1931 to Riccardo Giacconi, the Italian-born physicist and Nobel Prize laureate. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for October 6th.
This is your inner geek speaking. Listen to Chuck Chat.
And listen, you are.
Yes.
Hey, I want to give a special thanks to the good people at DragonPage.com for playing our Real Geeks of Genius. Craig put
good
together
people.
A couple... Good people? They're good people.
Yes, they are. I'm just kidding.
What are you talking about? They play our stuff.
They're good brown coats.
Craig sent him a couple of the Real Geeks of Genius clips that he had graciously produced for this show, and they played one last week and one this week, so thank you very much. You know, when I first moved to this area, I wasn't much of a football fan. I knew of it, but didn't watch it religiously. But then moving to the Green Bay area, you kind of get sucked into the whole Packer phenomenon.
Especially after the results for Monday night, right?
We're not speaking of that ever again. Now that I'm listening to the Dragon Page, my sci-fi quotient has gone way up in much the same way. So thanks, Michael, Evo, Summer, and Joe.
Yes, guys, we appreciate that. They've stuck me back into wanting to read and stuff, too.
Do you
with
use,
the cover to cover.
Do you use GIMP?
Do I use GIMP? Do I? Yes. Of course I use GIMP. Man, I love GIMP. I can't. Most people use Photoshop and start to play with GIMP, and they go, I can't. The menus aren't right, and they want to screw around with the interface and all that. But you know what? I had trouble using Photoshop because I think GIMP is a lot easier. GIMP is the GNU Image Manipulation Program. 2.4 version is coming out, I think,
really?
In a month. Yeah. Yeah. And it's got a couple of new tools. One of them is an extraction tool. If you've played with Photoshop at all, you'll know Photoshop has that background eraser. So you can take I can take a picture of Chuck and, you know, edit him out and put him in a situation which he'll never be in, kind of like being at
lots of women.
The Playboy Mansion.
Yeah. I knew we were going there.
You can take take him out of the picture and put him in. You can do much the same thing with GIMP 2.4. There are a lot of interface enhancements, some menu cleanups to go along with the free desktop.org standards. It looks good, and I can't wait. I love it.
Yeah, I was looking at the webpage. We'll have a link in the show notes, of course. But it's got this thing called an I.O. brush. I'm sorry, that's the next article. But what I was thinking of was, not, I was on the wrong page. Go back a tab. There. That rectangle tool. Normally when you select a rectangular area, it's like that's what you've got selected. And if you try and stretch it and drag it a little, it starts to manipulate the image within the rectangle.
Yeah, especially when you drag it somewhere.
But this one's more of a live mask is what they termed it in the article. So lots of neat features in that. I'm going to have to take another look.
It's only gotten... That is definitely a gem in the open source community. That is an awesome little program. And it definitely just gets better each time.
Of course, tools like that are really only useful if you have some aptitude for graphics and artwork, unlike me that... Well,
you can draw stick figures with it.
Hey! Hey! Yeah, well, wasn't there that online paint program thing where you could just go and paint things, like stick figures, a little Java tool?
Yeah, right.
Speaking of painting, we slipped on to the next article, the I.O. brush.
Yeah, so these guys at, was it MIT, one of their, in their media lab, they made this brush. It looks like an oversized paintbrush.
Yeah, it almost looks like a basting brush.
Yes, even bigger than that, too. And it's hollow in the center part of the brush, and it's got a camera embedded inside of it. And the camera will sample whatever you're looking at. Say, like, you've got an orange sitting there. You stick the brush to the orange.
And you get the orange texture.
You get the orange texture, the color and everything. And then you go over to this... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey, you can go over to this big LCD panel and start painting, and out comes the orange peel for whatever you want to paint.
Yeah.
So, lots of cool pictures.
And you know what else is cool? Did you see the video by chance, Chuck?
No, I didn't.
On the video, they demonstrate how it works. And the one of the kids sticks the brush up to the face of another child, and his blinking his eyes, it'll sample moving video. So as you paint it, you see the video moving wherever you painted it at, too.
Oh, weird.
So they took like a bug, like a ladybug. It wasn't a real one, but they had one sitting there, and they pushed the brush over it. And when they painted it, it looked like the ladybugs were moving.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So be sure to go check out the video. It's at the bottom of that page.
Now, before we go on, this isn't in our show notes, and Craig didn't know I was going to spring this out, but it's just one of those thoughts while
Stick
we were
with
talking.
It.
Yeah, stay on target.
I can't work like this. I can't work like this, Chuck.
You work like sorry, this because it's more fun than not working like this. But as I was digging for articles this past week, I came across one that I forgot to put in the show notes. A bunch of images from Chernobyl. These were taken recently. I don't know if it was last fall or this fall. Did you see those?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man. These are just freaky. They're really good images, like National Geographic quality. A lot of them were around a school or around a church or inside the school. Very, very real pictures. It looks like the people got most of what they needed to survive. I mean, the church is pretty much abandoned, but there's a few things left in the church, and the paint is starting to peel off the walls and mildew on the ceilings, and a lot of windows are broken. And every once in a while, they'll throw in a picture of the power plant in the background. But boats that are abandoned in the rivers, the ones that really struck me were at the school. There was a swimming pool that had, you know, just some grungy water left in it, but not much. Shoes sitting next to little cubbies in a kindergarten room. Maps that this was all pre, when it was still the Soviet Union. So there were a lot of references to that. It was in 1986. In fact, one of the images has the date 1986 scrawled on one of the doors. Just very, very freaky. The playground was all overgrown with trees. So here's this merry-go-round with this 15-year-old tree growing up through it. Just weird.
Hey, did you see? This isn't the same one where the girl was on the motorcycle and they were riding through taking pictures. Have you seen that?
No, I didn't see anything about a girl on a motorcycle.
A few years back, she was on a motorcycle with a companion. They rode through there, and she knew how to read, where to be safe from the radiation. But she went through and took pictures, kind of like what you're talking about.
Yeah. The other place that would be neat to see, if somebody could go in there, would be Love Canal. Remember the place that was abandoned because of toxins and poisons and things? I think that was in New York. I was very, very young when that happened, but it's still an abandoned city. I mean, that one was literally get out now. They did not have time to pick up and take things with them, so everything is still as it was, but I'd be curious to see that place.
Some of the pictures are just like you talked about. She said there's some places there's still newspapers sitting around, and you can see the date on it, calendars hanging on the wall. It looked like the city, somebody just came and plucked all the people out of the city. And she knew which buildings to go into because of the way they faced. Some about if they faced the reactor, it would get,
Wow.
I don't know. I'll find that link and stick it in there, too.
Okay.
So we'll stick both of those in there.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to work. Microsoft, what, last year filed for a patent or a lawsuit against the people that were using FAT, the file allocation table
format? They were threatening to go against all these different manufacturers, like they make the compact flash stuff and the cameras.
Oh, yeah, every digital camera, all the PDAs that store your files out there, MP3 that's all FAT.
Players?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a company, they were threatening to, you know, pull that one out of the hat, you know, and start collecting money. And then there was a company, a public, what's their names? It was a group, they did kind of like the EFF or something like that. They actually went and protested, you know, to have it reexamined, the patent itself. And the U.S. PTO actually rejected the application, not because of prior art per se, but because there was question about the actual six names that were listed as inventors on the patent. So I don't know exactly how this is going to go. You know, they may still own it, but, you know, it just kind of stinks when everybody starts using the FAT32 stuff, and then they go, oh, hey, well, let's collect some money here.
Hey, right, yeah, way like after. I mean, it'd be one thing if they had said it in the first couple of years, but...
Yeah, it's like, remember GIFs? Remember the burn-all GIFs?
Yep, yep.
People were all ticked off because this Unisys was like, hey, we need to start collecting money on this this compression type we're using under GIF, and turns out the patent was expiring soon anyway. So that it was a last ditch effort to get some money. Well, that won Unisys some fans.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Okay.
Flickr version 2.0 is out there. We'll have a link to this.
No, wait.
I'm sorry.
Wait. It's not Flickr 2.0. It's actually a Flickr. Somebody used, made a project. It's kind of like a project. This is, I'll talk about it real quick, and we'll move right along. This bar.
One way to get things going is screw it up really bad.
Yeah, whoa. It's not Flickr 2.0. There's this, it was a restaurant in Amsterdam. They have these big, huge screens up on the wall. And
that's you what it was.
Yeah, and all the people in the place can message in to a certain phone number a word. And what the computer would do is go out, get Flickr pictures.
That have that in the tags.
Yeah, that's part of the tag, and it would display them on the screen. So anybody in the bar would be, you know, could be messaging these messages. And it would pick out several pictures out of its group, and they would rotate on the screen until somebody else messaged another word in.
Oh, it'd be neat if you could do this online. If you could see those three, you know, a scaled version of those three frames.
You know, that's probably not a bad idea. I have a website where you have some pictures on there, and when people email or message in or something like that, have it change.
Yeah. Say, hey, I'm looking for a pumpkin. And then one of the three goes to pumpkins and starts looking for pumpkin pictures and starts rotating those around.
I'll get right on that, Chuck.
Now, I saw one of the pictures on that webpage that said... The key word they were looking for was violent, and there was a picture of a cat. And well, it was a pretty placid-looking cat. This wasn't, you know, a tiger with its teeth exposed.
You know, I've known many cats.
I don't know,
you never
man.
Know.
What kind of tags are people sticking on their picture when cats come up under the word violent?
Violent. Murder. Mayhem. There's a little kitten sitting there.
Sick 'em, Mr. Mittens.
Mr. Mitts. Mr. Bootsy.
I have a tip from a junior project manager. That's my new role, is I am a PM, but I am still wet behind the ears. So I'm going to be passing on any tips or tricks that I hear. This one,
yes,
I had
please do, Chuck.
I had to pass on because I heard it twice today. We had our biweekly status meeting with management, who is our customer for this. We're replacing our business system. Not to get into the details of the project, but when the project was concluded, my boss called me in for a quick postmortem and said...
Postmortem. It's dead. You're dead.
We wish. But and gave me some friendly tips. You know, I realize I am little green and need to grow. So this one came as a friendly reminder. He said, you've got a lot of people there, and they're the experts on a lot of the subjects, so don't try to paraphrase them, let them talk. And I didn't really realize I was doing it at the time, mm-hmm. and I kind of wish I had an audio recording or something to go back and go, oh, yeah, I guess I was. Because he was sitting at the other end of the table being very quiet, and I knew he was up to something.
Wait. You weren't recording this?
Are you kidding?
I'm surprised you didn't have the Chuck Chat microphones out there.
Yeah, six-way, quadraphonic sound. Pardon me, this status meeting will be recorded for later posterity.
Chuck, what are those microphones in this meeting?
You thought it was a conference call.
Yeah.
So if you ever get into that role and you've got subject matter experts and it's their turn to talk on the agenda talking points, let them do it. So after we had our post-mortem a little later in the afternoon, his boss came by, who is the president, also the client, also, you know, he's about as high as you go on the food chain without getting to the CEO, came by. He was in the meeting and said, you know, you've got real smart people working on this team. You might want to let them talk when it's time to talk. Okay, point taken. So, you know, I take it with a grain of salt and go, yep, I've got a lot to learn, so... We'll be back after this short message.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
This is Victor Cahill from the Typical PC User Podcast at www.typicalpcuser.com. And you're listening to Technorama with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp.
Nerd alert!
We have some listener feedback. This one comes to us from Glenn.
Glenn. Oh, somebody new.
Somebody new. Well, yes. Said, Chuck and Craig, I also check out Dig.com, and one of the new features is their search RSS feed. Mm-hmm. You can search for all digs for a particular topic you are interested in, and then create an RSS feed for that search. Once you place that RSS in your aggregator, every time there is a dig having to do with your search topic, it gets pulled in. You can fine-tune your searches so that all digs having to do with your topic will be aggregated, or only digs that make it to the main page get aggregated. Then, of course, there is Dig Nation Podcast and VidCast with Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht. It's so funny.
Actually, I like listening to them, too.
Anyway, I love your show, and keep it up, Glenn. Good tip. That is a very handy feature, because then you can put in certain keywords or, you know, and say, hey, I'm looking for all the stuff on podcast. So whenever somebody digs something on a podcast, there you go.
Yep. Hey, and we'll try to keep it up, but I think our arms may get tired after a while.
Keep what up?
Oh, keep it up,
keep
Chuck.
The show up.
Prop it up.
We also had some comments that were left in the blog articles, and we encourage all comments, good or bad. Someone left us some feedback that they didn't like a recent show, but neglected to tell us exactly what they didn't like in particular. So, we're all about growing and improving this show, so don't be shy to tell us what you liked and what you didn't like. Try to be specific, and then we'll know to stay away from those nasty things. If the show's moving too slow, if it's getting repetitive, if we ran on a segment too long, or if we just ramble on and on and on and on like this.
And we'll be sure to get your address and stalk you and... I'm kidding.
Spam.
Spam. No, we do appreciate it. No. It's spam.
Yes, we do. We do.
Yeah, hey, send us your email address.
You got to remember who you're dealing with. We are not professional broadcasters, nor do we play one on TV.
But I can't hack your bank account. I'm kidding.
Don't even joke about it, man.
Nah,
don't even joke about it.
That's all that was. Humor. Humor. Here's the jokes.
All right.
Is this podcast on?
Hello.
Be sure to tip your waiters and waitresses.
Try the veal.
We'll be here always.
I'm here every Sunday and Wednesday. All right. New segment. Getting back to the work thing. You can tell I wasn't really looking for material today. New segment I call Chop 2.
Oh, there was plenty of material at work.
Yes, there was. Lots of stories between getting friendly advice to...
Too bad we're not doing a comedy.
You mean you haven't been putting it in that category in iTunes?
I'm sorry.
All right, back to Chup 2. This is CHUPTU, and Craig looked at this and go, what is that? And I said, that's what you ask when you want to know what somebody's been doing lately. You go, Chup 2!
It's a northern thing.
No, it's not. I think I got it from Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, okay.
So two things I've been doing at work. One is installing and learning SharePoint. SharePoint is a product from Microsoft. Comes with Windows Server 2003. Runs on IIS. Not that that sends shivers up my spine, but you know, for intranet stuff, it might actually work. You load up Server 2003. You start up the IIS server. You load the ASP.NET stuff, and then you get SharePoint. Pretty much everything there is included. SharePoint is a framework to which to build other collaborative tools. Very easy to cut and paste. They call them not web tools, not widgets, but that concept. I can't think of the exact terminology. See, I just jumped into this with both feet 2 days ago. But you can quickly build a site and use it for collaboration. The most common one is a team site. You can list all your project contacts on there. It has hooks into Office 2003. So as you're, say, doing a meeting invite and making a recurring meeting, say every week we're going to meet on Wednesday, here's the agenda, you can integrate that right into your website with a single click inside of Outlook 2003. Now back on the website, if you want to quickly create an issues list, it's got a built-in issue list that you can customize the fields and field types and make them required. One of the screencasts that they had on Microsoft was how to build a help desk out of SharePoint. And you can make a real simple help desk, not for a large enterprise, but I mean, you know, if you had one IT team and you had to assign issues like that, you could have a self-service account kind of thing for people to go there, look at their issues or look at all issues, create a new one. Pretty easy. Issues list, document libraries, very easy for checking things in and out. Again, integrated with the Office products. So as a collaborative tool on this project that I'm working on, I think it's going to work out pretty well. I started setting up a server and then found out corporate already had one set up. So unfortunately, they won't get me an account until next Monday or Tuesday. So I took the one that I already set up, turned it back on, and started playing around with it. So they've got a little more familiarity by the time I do get my real account.
That's cool.
So SharePoint, I will share some other stories with that as we go along. It integrates to Active Directory as well, so you don't have to have a separate account on the server.
So there's always a downside.
What's that?
The Active Directory.
I'm getting to like Active Directory more and more because it's because of LDAP access, it means I don't have to create user databases on a lot of applications that you know, I need to. LDAP is the Lightweight Data Access Protocol. Is that what it stands for? Or was it authentication?
See, now that we screwed up a couple of times in the past, we're always trying to figure out what the acronyms are ahead of time.
Yeah.
So we sound like we know what we're talking
Speaking
about.
Speaking of acronyms, the next one is an acronym as well. I'm also learning the bits and pieces, the fundamentals of UML, which is the Unified Modeling Language. Yes?
I thought that stood for UML. Wasn't she in Pulp Fiction?
UML?
Uma Thurman?
No.
Never mind.
This is a different UML. This is the Unified Modeling Language. I almost said markup. Mm-hmm. You know, like HTML, HTML. No, this ML is a modeling language used a lot in software modeling. You can use it for analyzing a problem, setting up use cases. You know, accounting wants a report. That's actually a use case. And you can make little diagrams with stick figures and bubbles. It looks really funny when you first look at it. You go, you guys are engineers and you're drawing stick figures. But that feeds into the creation of things like class diagrams, where you actually start to model some of the objects you will need. And there's different ways you can look at the class diagrams. There's associations that go on between objects. And I know I'm getting a little geeky here, but I'm currently getting a lot of this out of a thin book, maybe half inch thick. It's not even that big. Called UML Distilled by Martin Fowler. It was written a few years ago, but it still fits the bill pretty good. He's based off of three other well-known Smalltalk and I can't remember the other language. Three other guys that are real strong with the early object-oriented languages. Interesting stuff. Like I said, case diagrams, class diagrams, interaction diagrams, activity diagrams, and it sounds simple enough. But what I want to do, really, the end result is use some of the tools that we've got in engineering on this program. Things like Rational Requisite Pro we've got to capture some of the requirements, set up traceability between a requirement and a test case. That mm-hmm. way, if somebody says, oh, guess what? We have a new requirement. You can tie it back to a test and say, well, you know, if we run this test, it's going to meet these requirements. Or if you add another requirement, we're going to have to create a new test or tie in these other tests for it. There's also Rational Soda, which is used for publishing those requirements. And the cool thing about some of these tools is you don't have to know how to use the tool to write these requirements and things, because there's a tie-in between Microsoft Word. I can publish this requirement in a document, just dump it out in kind of like an outline format, and say, here, Bob, you need to edit this. And he goes through and says, oh, I want to add this requirement under this heading and blah, 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 and then suck it back in, and it goes into the database as requirements, and it's all tied up nice and tight. So you don't
have to... So this is a language?
UML is the language that... think of
kinda
it
like
as...
Kind of like XML or something?
Yeah, yeah. Although it's mainly pictures and things. And then Requisite Pro...
My kind of language.
Soda. Yeah, I can't read. I only draw the pictures. Rational, who's part of IBM, like Lotus. Rational mm-hmm. has Requisite Pro, Soda, and ClearQuest. ClearQuest is kind of their issue tracker, defect tracking system. And all of those tie together. So by knowing UML, that's the first step to using these other tools effectively.
Hmm.
And there is a UML program available for the Mac, which I haven't looked at yet, but Scott Reynolds was kind enough to send me a link to gentleware.com. The program is
good old Scott.
Poseidon. Yes, thank you, Scott. Do we
take
have...
A breath.
Yeah, I need to exhale after that part. Because it's your turn to talk while I get a drink of water. My throat's wearing out.
Hey, does Hollywood hate children?
Do they hate children?
They must really dislike children. Do you know why I say that?
Why is that?
And I'm sure everybody on the planet's heard this now, but Nicolas Cage and his wife named their son Kal-El.
Kal-El, as in the real name of Superman from his home planet of Krypton?
Bingo.
My son, I am your father, Jor-El. No! Oh, wrong movies.
Can you believe that? I was like, oh, man. But I guess it's better than... I'd rather have that name than Apple.
You know, the way people are naming their kids these days, Kal-El, he's probably going to turn out to be a rap artist or something.
Yo, yo, I'm Kal-El. Listen to me. I'm going to pop a cap, yo.
The funny thing is, wasn't Nicholas supposed to be Superman in one of the upcoming movies? But that got canned, so now his kid's stuck with a moniker.
Yeah, apparently he was some big huge Superman fan. You know, he was gonna star in the Superman movie that was when Tim Burton was attached to direct it. But oh well, you can see this story is gonna have a happy ending for his son.
I don't know. I kind of think it's a cool name, actually.
I'm Kal-El Cage. What's up?
I think it's a cool name.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back in just a sec.
All right.
Time is running out. GoDaddy.com is offering $1.99 domain names, transfers, or renewals with each and every new non-domain product you buy, but only until October 10th. Each domain name includes complete email, a $9.95 value free. Plus, listeners to this show get an additional 10% off any order. But the $1.99 domain sale expires October 10th, so order now at GoDaddy.com. Just enter TECH3, that's TECH, and the number 3 as your source code.
This is Jennifer, your Girl on Tech from the Girl on Tech podcast at GirlOnTech.com, and you are listening to Chuck Chat. Hey Chuck, a while back, you called me your oldest listener. You know it's not nice to talk about a diva's age like that.
On to the main stories.
Yes, I've been playing around with KeePass. Have you used KeePass before?
I've heard of it. What is it?
It's a Windows app that, well, I take that back. Somebody has a Linux version also, but it's a Windows app. to keep a database of your passwords securely, and you can put your the database of the password on your thumb drive, and you can actually put the application on there too. You don't have to have to it installed to run. You can have it on the device and kick it off.
How much is it? But,
let's see, it's zero times zero. Oh, zero.
So it's my zero. Kind of price. Open That's source? Right.
Yes, it is.
Yay!
And but get this part. This is the part that I really like, is that I forgot, since before I've had a Pocket PC, I've heard this, but I forgot about it, is that they have a Pocket PC version, and it has actually matured since the last time I've seen it.
Oh.
So I can actually, I got a compact flash card that I use in my Pocket PC and my laptop. It's only 64K or a meg, so you routinely copy stuff back and forth. And I put the password database on that, so I slap it my laptop. I pull it up. I can access my passwords when I'm using my laptop. Or if I'm away from my laptop, I have the card in my Pocket PC. I can use the application and unlock the database and read all the passwords on it.
Ooh.
Very nice. Very nice. And it's totally free. So we'll have a link to that, of course, and go check that out. And I wanted to talk a few minutes about moving my RSS feed from Bloglines. I like Bloglines, but it just seems like the interface needs a little bit something. I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. But anyway, it just seems a little slow sometimes, and they always have downtime and whatnot. But I've been playing around with a new, I say new, but it's been around for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's called Gregarious. It's a web-based RSS feed reader. And right now I've got it just installed on my laptop. I'm going to throw it on my website. But it's works like Bloglines, much the same way. You can subscribe and everything, and it has a very nice Ajax-type feel where you click on it and folders pop open without having to reload the page.
Nice.
It's very nice, and it has a lot of great options. There's a great theming engine. The theme is separate from the application, so you can easily make your own themes for it. Very extensible. Any page you view, you can turn that into an RSS feed. So if I'm looking for it as a search, much like Glenn was talking about earlier with Dig, I can make a search and make it a feed and subscribe to it or do whatever wish with that. Yes, it's very nice.
Any page. It doesn't
All you do is the address in the URL on the address bar on your browser. You just append theme equals RSS and the page is an RSS. The RSS is actually a theme also, and you know, it'll show you as a, it'll look like it'll be an RSS feed.
Wow.
Yes, it's very nice. So I'm really falling in love with it. I played around with it. I did have to hack the one I had. I downloaded the last version that they've had. It was like 5.0. 5.2 is coming out. 5.0 had some OPML import problems, which I think has already been fixed, but I was actually I recoded it, stupid me, and then I go, oh, look, they've got a release candidate. So I tried that one. It worked fine. So it's pretty nice. So I give you, go check that out at gregarious.net.
So, that's going to be hard to spell. We're going to have to put that one in the notes as well.
So, all right, everybody, stay tuned. Just a minute. We'll have a geek thought.
Geek thoughts.
I'm glad they finally got Wi-Fi in here.
Up next, I hope you'll enjoy a skit by Pedro Sanchez.
When I came home from school, my head started to get really hot, so I drank some cold water, but it didn't do nothing. So I laid in the bathtub for a while, and I listened to Technorama. And I didn't feel so hot no more. Thanks, Chuck and Craig, for saving me from shaving my hair off again. To pay you back, I'm going to build you a cake.
Hey, everybody. We've got a couple things in our geek library. We've got this one came across. I couldn't resist. Monty Python's Flying Circus. But this is just the words to every one of the Flying Circus episodes. So if you're looking
Somebody has way too much time on in their hands.
They even color-coded the transcript so you know, Graham Chapman is in red and Eric Idle is in green, and you can read the parts if you want. So, you know, if you're putting together that school play, this is the place to go. You want to do the Dead Parrot sketch, you can have it at your fingertips. We'll put it in there. We've also got Deskzilla features and benefits.
Yeah, if you use Bugzilla, which I have in the past. This is Deskzilla. This is a client that you run on your PC. I think they have a Windows version and a Linux version, and it gives you access to the whole entire Bugzilla database from a nice-looking client. I guess it's easy to print and look up stuff and search and what's not. So it looks really cool. I just saw it today.
Neat. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
Just a reminder that Technorama is coming up on show number 50. We've got hundreds of dollars worth of cool stuff, and you'll want to make sure you don't miss out on your chance to win. To enter, head over to ChuckChat.com and sign up for the announcements mailing list to qualify for the prize drawings we'll be doing on show number 50. The mailing lists are on the left side of the main page at www.chuckchat.com. Don't delay, sign up today.
It's Chuck Chat Technorama, tech without BSOD.
All right, on that show number 50 stuff, we've got a lot of prizes. We've got Citrix GoTo Meeting, a one-year subscription. We've got Tim Berkwin giving us a full pass to the expo. Todd Cochran's podcasting book, Evo Terra's soon-to-be-released podcasting book is thrown into the pool. We've got a couple others that I'm working on from Llama Graphics, the people who make Life Balance. And,
Playboy?
What's that?
Playboy?
No. Couldn't get that. Couldn't get him to throw in anything useful. And also talking with Adam over at Madtown Aces, who does audio production stuff. If you are a podcaster or interested in that kind of thing, we've got that as well. We're working on putting together a package for that.
Cool.
I'm just about out. I think we're at end of the wiki.
Well, take us out, Chuck.
Oh, me take us out?
Yeah.
All right.
Take us out. Take us out, number one.
If you want to get a hold of us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT, that's 2428. Email me, Chuck at ChuckChat.com, or Craig is K-R-E-G at ChuckChat.com. We've also got the website, of course, with all of the forums, the swag, the webcam, the mailing list, the live cam, show notes, and much, much more. Parting words of wisdom?
If you torture your data enough, it will confess.
Hey, I had one thrown in here. I said, yes, Bill, I do need more than 640K of memory.
Yeah, at least a meg.
As always, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to this show. Staying subscribed. If you're a first-time listener, thank you. If you've been with us for a long time, we make no excuses for anything else. As always, a big binary high five.
101.
Thank you. Good night, good day, good morning, wherever you are. Money, money, money!
Good Lord.